We're going to follow what is quite a long path now, around a quarter of a mile long, and you won't see the water for a while. The path will bring you back out onto the road, and you'll see that it continues through the gate on the other side. Come on! If this track is still playing when you've crossed over, then just wait there. We've met many of those who were instrumental in the creation of the canal. But once it was up and running, perhaps the most important figure was a Mr. Robert Hawley.
Tomorrow the committee will tour the line of the canal from Melton to Oakham to see what shape she's in. For someone who spends so many of their hours labouring over figures and financial projections, this is a moment I should savour. Yet, whilst the rest of the committee merely indicate damage to bridges and locks, point at fencing that's collapsed, kick at towpaths that are damaged, I am the one who sees all of this as pounds, shillings, and pence. While they may tut at another leak of water or clay, I am the one who sees this as another farmer's claim for compensation. I know that I am undervalued, as treasurers usually are, that it is the surveyor, Mr. William Neal, who everyone looks to, as he repairs the warehouses and wharfs, concerns himself with the locks, bridges and culverts, breaks stone for the towing paths, and everything else you can imagine concerning the wear and tear of the canal. Well, they should stand in my shoes. They should try paying the wages and making sure the tolls are right, that the wharfage is being paid, that the money is coming in. We only have one boat, a 20-tonner, so I don't have much to deal with in terms of managing a company fleet, which is something. But I work from daybreak to dusk. Warehouse space needs advertising? Call on Richard. Tables for ascertaining the weights of the cargoes need updating and distributing? Give Dickie a shout. Ice preventing any hope of navigation? You know where I am. And that's a sight, and a sound, by the way. The icebreaker boat being heaved by a team of straining horses, the effort of it pouring from their nostrils, the long raking bow riding up and smashing down as the cracking is heard for miles around. Most of the actual shareholders seem to have lost interest. It is true that the dividends have not been particularly generous and that nobody is making their fortune from this canal. There were no payments at all for 10 years, but since then the company has started to pay a little. Anything between £2 and £4 a year per share, which is disappointing, and probably why none of them bother to attend the October meeting anymore. Apart from that Baker fellow, of course. He seemed most aggrieved when I told him we were going to knock the meetings on the head. If only we had certainty and confidence in the water levels. That's where the real problem lies. Within weeks of opening, and before we built the warehouses, there were over 1,200 tons of coal laid out on the banks, ready to be turned into energy and change the fortunes of all who got their hands on it. But the lack of water in those early summer months meant that the amount of coal that arrived in Oakham was really rather pathetic. Every summer since, we have prayed for rain. 2 dry weeks and you can be in all sorts of trouble. Only a couple of years after opening, it was November before the canal could be navigated. Then in 22, 25... and 26, trade was halted again because of the water levels before a good 10-year period ensued. Finally, we could enjoy the fruits of our endeavours as coal came steadily and farmers loaded boats for their return with corn and bran, malt and flour, wheat and oats, peas and beans. We did have to close in the summer of 32, but for most of those years, spirits were high and profits were up. There were plans to extend the canal to Stamford. We allowed the inhabitants of Oakham to draw water from the canal in case of fire. I was greeted with a warm handshake everywhere I went. And then, last year, in 36, the worst crisis yet, as the summer stymied us again and we scrabbled around for water sources. It wasn't until the 2nd of November, after some fine engineering work allowed us to gather water from the valley to the south of the Cold Overton estate, that we could announce the canal was completely open to traffic once more. We have tried to stimulate trade by establishing a commercial coal company, but that is hardly thriving. Yet this canal can succeed. Water is out there and can be brought to the canal, as we have proved. And Oakham needs this canal to work. The town has been expanding. Houses are being built. Trades established. Money circulated. Families enriched. The next 10 years will be vital. Sometimes I look to the sky and see a storm cloud in the distance, and will it here in all its fury? And I wonder if I can add it to my ledger. If I can find a way to turn the very rain into figures. To turn water into pounds, shillings, and pence. Because truly, that is what it is.
You should be close to the road by now. When you get there, if you're not already, then cross straight over. There may be a new gate facing you, depending on how the volunteers have been getting on. When you're on that path on the other side, then go to the next track.